Ramsey TV.
Just when you think you find a passage of scripture that everybody can agree on and celebrate in and just enjoy with every spiritual apprehension in Christ. Nope. Somebody's got to throw a wrench in there. And I'm not talking about Christians throwing wrenches in something, because they throw wrenches in everything. I'm talking about members of the body of Christ. I'm talking about mature truth. It's almost like people need to find something new. They need to find something exciting. They're not satisfied with the same truths that we've been believing for, as a corporate member of the body of Christ, for 2,000 years. It's almost like people need to make a name for themselves. It's almost like that. Hello, everyone. I'm Martin Zender, the world's most outspoken Bible scholar, holding court from Fort Lauderdale, also known as the edge of the bottom of the Floridian Peninsula. I think this will be my last installment here on the topic. Well, for now, I mean, on the topic of the truth that all is through Christ. Everything came into existence through Christ. Not one thing that came into existence has come into existence except through Christ, the firstborn of the creation of God. All these beautiful things took the form of humanity, came to be in fashion as a human, but all of it denied by people who I just need something new, I guess. Now, the most exciting time for believers, the passage I'm talking about is so beautiful. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 18. Speaking of Christ, here's his glories right here, who is the image of the invisible God. I mean, this is his resume. And we have people in the body of Christ shooting it up with a machine gun. No, that's not right. Listen to what they say is not right. Christ, the image of the invisible God, firstborn of every creature. They don't believe that's true. For in him is all created. They don't believe that's true. That in the heavens, that on the earth, the visible, the invisible, whether thrones or lordships or sovereignties or authorities, all is created through him. They don't believe that's true. And for him. And he is before all. They don't believe that. And all is its cohesion in him. That they believe. And he is the head of the body, the ecclesia, who is sovereign, firstborn from among the dead. Yeah, they believe all that last part there. So, yay, that in all he may be becoming first. So they believe about half of that. The other half, we pick and choose. So, you know, the most exciting time as believers is when we come into the truth. We discover the truth of the salvation of all, the sovereignty of God, the glories of Christ. And it's such a thrill. You want to tell everybody. You read every book you can find. Any article you can get your hands on, you watch videos, you just binge watch great videos like, you know, MZTV, you know, like things like the Revelation series and Return to Zender and Crack of Dawn Report, things like that. But then here's the hardest part, the most difficult time. The most difficult time is when God saturates us with the basics of faith, and there are no more big truths out there to chase. Yeah, it's kind of depressing. The most difficult time is when that thrill of the chase is over, and there's nothing to do except endure and to grow in faith and realization of these basics. Holding fast to what one knows and refusing to entertain the latest new truth. I don't know. This is easy for me. I don't know. But for some people, they get restless. They want to entertain new truths. I don't know. To me, this is what separates the stayers from those who abandon camp in search for virgin thrills. Everybody wants the virgin thrill. I'm not saying that we ever arrive at a place where we don't discover some great nuance belonging to a foundation of faith. You always see kind of a new sparkle there. I always do, but I'm talking about the big time game hunt. the big time game hunt for large elusive quarry. Yes, we want to find something new. That's over, folks. That thrill is gone. The honeymoon is over. Now we are hunkered down for a long, it's been a long period of time for me. I don't know. It's been 30 years for me. Over 30 years, 35 years. And it's like a long, you know, some people say, I don't know, long, difficult marriage when nothing seems to be happening except, you know, racking up endurance points. Marriage should never be like that, by the way. Read Shaga, one of my new books. So we have to guard against this need for speed. During this protracted haul is the temptation to blow with seductive winds, to swim uncharted seas in search of some kind of novelty. And it's easy to imagine that such a search is spiritual, but it's not. I hear people now, they want to buy these books that are not inspired, like the Book of Enoch, these other non-inspired books. It's like, what, scriptures aren't good enough? It's really a soulish quest for titillation, I think. It's like the Athenians. Remember Paul? Acts 17:21. Now, all the Athenians and the repatriated guests had opportunity for nothing different than to be saying something or hearing something newer or different. There's nothing wrong with staying with the truth, folks. Staying with the truth. I've known people have just gone off on crazy tangents. Crazy. This is a crazy tangent. Seems exciting. Oh, we got something. Got something different. How about this? I'm going to review, since this is the last show on this topic, I'm going to review the basics of Christ's existence before taking flesh, before coming to be in the likeness of humanity at Bethlehem. He said in John 8:58, before Abraham came into being, I am. He had a glory with the Father before the world was. John 17:5. He would ascend, he said this, he would ascend to where he was formerly. John 6:62, where was that? In heaven. All was created in him, through him, and for him. Colossians 1:16. Just read that. He's the firstborn of every creature. Colossians 1:15, the firstborn of every creature. I'm going to get to that term firstborn here, don't worry. Apart from him, not even one thing came into being which has come into being. John 1:3. He made the eons. Yeah. Before anything happened, the eons were created. He made the eons. Hebrews 1:3. And one of his greatest glories ever, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, coming to be in the likeness of humanity. Philippians 2:7. When did he do that? At Bethlehem, obviously. He left his heavenly estate and came to join us in the realm of sin and death voluntarily. And he is God's creative original, Revelation 3:14. Now to me, to deny the preexistence of Christ before Bethlehem in light of these verses, it carries the distinct odor of chasing some new thing, some spectacular new teaching. Well, listen to this. We're going against Enoch. Ooh, we're going against Martin Zender. We're going against established facts. We have a special little sparkle over here. It just reeks of that to me. The Athenian thing. Like, want to hear something new. I told you yesterday that my newsletters, the ZWTF, I wrote three newsletters critiquing Aaron Welch's article, lengthy article on the non-preexistence of Christ. Aaron Welch apparently wrote the Magna Carta of these people who believe this. Clyde was so impressed with it that he put it in a book, which when I heard that, I was like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. Oh, well, I just keep rolling on, folks. I just keep holding fast to the faith and rolling on. To Aaron's credit, everything else the guy has written has been fabulous. I love it. He's a hell of a scholar. But something happened here. So let's review some of the points made by Aaron Welch. And I'm going to get to this last one here in Colossians 1:16, but let's review. And this is a good Bible study here, and what I'm giving you now is teaching tools to help you learn to study the scriptures correctly. Similar wording or concepts do not a parallel identity make. Now, I didn't go into detail on this 2 days ago. Like I said, I wasn't going to make this an exhaustive. My newsletters are fairly exhaustive, but this is not. This presentation here, these presentations on MCTV are not. But to say that just because we were foreknown by God, and all these non-existence people, these nothing is through Christ people, they get so excited by the fact that we were foreknown also by God. And we didn't pre-exist our birth. Therefore, Jesus Christ, also foreknown, didn't pre-exist his birth. That is completely illogical. And the fact that this is presented by Aaron Welch as evidence and other people shows you the desperation of the position. And as I've said with other positions, the best evidence against this non-pre-existence of Christ thing, the best evidence against nothing is through Christ is the evidence they offer for it. The evidence they offer for it is so illogical. And as I said yesterday and the day before, so out there and outrageous and silly. It's like, this is your Magna Carta? This is what you're basing it on? The fact that we're said to be foreknown and Christ is said to be foreknown. And since we didn't pre-exist, therefore he didn't pre-exist. So nobody who's foreknown can pre-exist, even though it says that Christ had all these things that we didn't have. I mean, it's like saying that because apples and oranges both have peels, they both have peels. Therefore, apples are oranges. That's the exact same logic. It's that bad. I like what I said in my first newsletter on this. Again, newsletters will be linked below. I didn't share it here, but Aaron does make the argument that because Christ was said to be foreknown, 1 Peter 1:20, and members of the body of Christ are also said to be foreknown, Romans 8:29, that therefore Christ did not exist before his birth because we did not exist before our birth. As if we are just like Christ. This is really, really bad. The commonality of being foreknown should not get anybody too excited that they're the same as Jesus in every aspect. You know what else was foreknown? Dinosaurs were foreknown. Raisins, redwood trees, snow blowers, underwire bras, I'm pretty sure were foreknown by God. French's mustard, all foreknown. None of them pre-existed. And we were foreknown, just like underwire bras. But there's a distinction between us, underwire bras, and Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the firstborn of all creation. Keep in mind that Jesus Christ, being the firstborn of all creation, and having been generated upon the earth by the Spirit of God, rather than like sperm, like the rest of us, is way different than us. Here comes a big, old, boring teaching by Martin Zender. Jesus Christ is way different than us. Even though he was foreknown and we were foreknown. Ooh, I see the word foreknown. I see that apples and oranges both have peels. Therefore, apples are oranges. Oh, I see that we and Jesus Christ were both foreknown. We didn't pre-exist, therefore he didn't pre-exist. So we're just like Jesus. Like, what? This is the evidence? It's kind of like, you know, when people see the trumpet in Revelation, the last trump, or the seventh trumpet, and then they see the last trump in 1 Corinthians 15. They say, there's a trumpet, and there's a trumpet. Therefore, it's the same trumpet, because it's trumpet. Look, I see trumpet. I see another trumpet. One trumpet announces the woes of the bowls and the wraths of Revelation. The other one announces the snatching away of the body of Christ. And it's a very, very poor interpretation indeed that would say, because we have two trumpets here, it's the same event. Therefore, you can either say, oh, that proves that there's no snatching away, that we're all going to go through the tribulation. Or you could say, oh, there's no tribulation, we're all going through the snatching away. Or you can say, this trumpet belongs here, that trumpet belongs there. I heard trumpet at the beginning of the Kentucky Derby. Oh, that proves that the Kentucky Derby is a snatching away. That's the same logic going on here. Trumpet in Revelation, trumpet in 1 Corinthians 15, trumpet at the Kentucky Derby. Therefore, the Kentucky Derby is the tribulation, or the snatching away is the Kentucky Derby. Could be either one. Well, we were all foreknown, yes. You and I were foreknown. Jesus Christ was foreknown. French's Mustard was foreknown. Chuckles the Clown was foreknown. But you and me and French's Mustard were a lot different than Jesus, because only one of this group created the eons. Only one from among this group brought all things into existence, lived before Abraham, and emptied himself by taking flesh. And it wasn't you or me or French's Mustard. No. It was Jesus Christ. So calling upon the commonality of foreknownness as a springboard to say that because we did not exist, neither did Christ, it's like saying that because Jack Nicholson and I both eat breakfast, therefore I starred in The Shining. That's my proof. Next, simply because Jesus Christ and other humans are both begotten, is the same thing that's happening here. Does not prove that Jesus Christ is just like other humans and did not pre-exist his birth. See, they see similar words, similar phrasing applied to Christ and applied to us. Jesus Christ is a human, and we're a human. Jesus Christ came into the world. We came into the world. Jesus Christ had two arms and two legs. We have two arms and two legs, most of us. What does that mean? Nothing. It just means we're both human beings. What is being foreknown or being begotten also with Christ mean? Nothing. It just means he was foreknown and begotten. We were foreknown and begotten. Doesn't mean we're him. It doesn't mean I started in The Shining. Just because I eat breakfast just like Jack Nicholson does. And as we saw 2 days ago, simply because Christ withholds information while on earth, and in fact withholds this specific information that all was created through him, does not mean that all was not created through him. So, simply because Christ withholds the information while he's on earth, as I mentioned 2 days ago, Christ withholds the information while he was on earth that all was created through him. Doesn't tell anybody this. That doesn't mean that all was not created through him. That's the evidence. This is the caliber of the evidence brought to us by the writer of the Magna Carta, Aaron Welch. It's really, really bad. He withheld the information. He didn't say specifically. When he was talking about at the beginning, God created them male and female, he didn't mention that he was the one through whom the male and the female came. That proves that he wasn't the one through whom the male and the female came. Oh boy. And simply because Jesus Christ sometimes plays dumb, like on the road to Emmaus, for instance, certainly doesn't mean he is dumb. That kind of is like a related point. No, it's not kind of a related point. It is a related point. Whenever God claims to have made the world alone, here's another big point. Oh, they got the big evidence. They're coming with it now. Jason's coming with it. Aaron's coming with it. LaBelle's coming with it. Whenever God claims to have made the world alone, he's speaking relatively, not absolutely. He's always in the context of distinguishing himself from counter deities, from false gods. The relative viewpoint never precludes the absolute viewpoint and the scriptural fact that God created the world and everything in it through Christ. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, created by the Elohim were the heavens and the earth. I taught exhaustively on that a few days ago. And what did you just learn recently? Well, you learned that Jesus Christ coming to be in the likeness of humanity and being found in the fashion of a human necessarily occurred before his baptism in the Jordan River. I don't want to go through that again. It's too absurd to even spend more time on. And I'm sorry I had to do it, but just people are believing this stuff. It's shocking to me. Shocking to me. So now we get to the verse, the opening verse from Colossians. And I'm going to close with this. Shows the nuts and bolts. The beautiful verse I read at the beginning of this show shows the nuts and bolts of how God works through Christ. It's very simple. Christ was God's creative original, Revelation 3:14. I think King James says the origin of the creation of God. He was the first being created by God because God is absolutely invisible, inaudible, intangible, and he required the creation of an image, like from the jump, from the get-go, required the creation of an image in order to be grasped by sentient creatures yet to be created. So that's why he's the firstborn of the creation of God. Christ is the image of the invisible God, 2 Corinthians 4:4. Not only is all created in him, but all has its cohesion in him. And guess what? In this context, the word all means. Yeah, it means all and includes everything. Everything in the universe besides God came into existence through Christ. It includes that in the heavens and that on the earth. The visible, the invisible, whether thrones or lordships or sovereignties or authorities, all is created through him and for him, Colossians 1:16. This fact is pounded home by the phrase, quote, he is before all and he is the firstborn of all creation. Here's another thing they jump on. Firstborn. Firstborn. Oh boy, the title firstborn, it could mean a position, firstborn, rather than an actual birth order. Christ is the firstborn of all creation. Speaking chronologically, it's the birth order. It could mean a position, but here it speaks of both because, quote, in him is all created. You can't just look at firstborn, and because you know that sometimes it's used as a position, therefore it's used that way with Christ. Well, it actually is used that way with Christ. It is a position, but he's also the literal chronological firstborn because when you read further, quote, in him is all created, and 1 Corinthians 8:6, through him all things came into being. John 1:3, apart from him, not one thing that has come into being came into being. And Colossians 1:16. Oh, yes. And Colossians 1:16. All is created through him and for him. What more could you possibly ask for? Now, none of this is good enough for Aaron Welch. No, not good enough. Because I wish it were. I really do, because I don't want to be making this freaking video. But it isn't. He can't accept Paul's plain words. He feels compelled to tell us what Paul meant to say. Because what Paul did say, as opposed to what Aaron says he meant to say, screws up Aaron's new truth, I guess that's what this is, of the non-preexistence of Christ. So here's what Aaron has to say about the Colossians passage. The epic Colossians passage. This is from the third part of his series titled, quote, a consideration of passages thought to reveal the preexistence of Christ. Thought to reveal. Yeah, that one sure makes me think that the preexistence of Christ is absolutely true. Here's what Aaron has to say. The creating, he puts it in quotation marks. He puts it in freaking quotation marks. Sorry, I'm trying to stay cool. The creating that Paul had in view in verse 16 is not a reference to the event described in Genesis 1. Rather, it refers to something that was presently occurring / ongoing when Paul wrote, namely the upholding and preserving of creation by virtue of Christ's authoritative declaration that it be so. And although everything in the universe has its ultimate origin in God, who originally brought everything into existence, everything in the universe remains or stands created by virtue of Christ's God-given authority. All right, this is a mess. A mess. And so, this is what we learned. When Paul said creating, he didn't really mean creating. It's good to know that, right? It's not a reference, says Aaron, to creating. Don't be tricked, my friends. This is me to you now. Don't be tricked by Paul's use of the word creating, because it doesn't mean creating. Because what Paul meant to say, as relayed to us by Aaron Welch, was not "for in him is all created." Now, that's what Paul said, but that's not what he meant. What he meant was "in him," Paul is referring to us too, something that was presently occurring / ongoing when Paul wrote, namely the upholding and preserving of creation by virtue of Christ's God-given authority. That's what Paul meant to say. What bugs me, and what's really unfortunate, is Aaron can't leave Paul alone. Just leave him alone to speak for himself. He's doing quite well here. One of the plainest passages Paul ever wrote. And besides, it's later in verse 17 that Paul refers to what Aaron thinks he's referring to in verse 16, that all is cohering through him. This is what those people who deny 1 Corinthians 8:6, that all is through Christ, they don't think that the all that came out of God came through Christ. No, they think that everything came out of God, and then 4,000 years later, Jesus Christ came in, and now all things consist because of him. All is through him in that it's running through him somehow, and he's energizing it. Again, there's the caliber of evidence. But see, verse 16's not saying that. If they want to say that, I'll give it to them, but I'm not giving it to them until verse 17 of Colossians 1. In verse 17, Paul's describing the upholding of creation in the phrase, quote, "all has its cohesion in him." But in verse 16, when Paul uses the word created, which Aaron doesn't like, and so he explains what Paul means when he says created, he even puts it in quotation marks. His first sentence, the creating that Paul had in view, he puts creating in quotation marks as if that's not what Paul meant. Can't leave him alone. So in verse 17, yes, that's where Paul is describing the upholding of creation, all as its cohesion in him. But in verse 16, when Paul uses the word created, he's describing the creation itself, just like he is in 1 Corinthians 8:6. That is the raw material that in verse 17 is being upheld. See, first it's created, then it's being upheld. It's created in verse 16. It's upheld and sustained and carried on in verse 17. And Hebrews 1:3, referenced by Aaron, simply supports Colossians 1:17. It speaks nothing of verse 16. Verse 16. You want to hear verse 16 again? It has nothing to do with things being upheld or sustained or cohering in Christ. It has to do with the creation. For in him, capital H, Christ, is all created. Oh, he didn't mean created. Yes, he did. That in the heavens, that on the earth, the visible, the invisible, thrones, whether thrones, lordships, sovereignties, authorities, all is created through him and for him. That's the creation. But when Paul says creating, and then in verse 17, and he is before all, and all has its cohesion in him. That's what they're looking for. That's their thing. That's what they think is everywhere. They think that the creation is automatically the cohesion. But the creation and the cohesion are two different things. In verse 16 and in verse 17 of Colossians chapter 1. Oi! When my article came out, when Aaron's articles came out, a mature saint who I've known for a long time and who has held to mature truth for many years, he's a very boring and faithful guy, just like me. Very boring and faithful guy. We stick to the truth for many, 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 many years. He complained to me about Aaron's article, saying, this is what this guy said to me. And I wrote it down, and I'm quoting. Paul tells us something very simple in one or two sentences, but then Aaron comes along and spends 10 pages and a couple thousand words trying to tell us what Paul meant to say. That was the guy's quote. I agree 100% with that. After relaying this to me, my friend took several swallows of strong whiskey, which is what I'm doing now. Actually, it's not strong whiskey. It's average whiskey, which is strong. 40% alcohol. Ladies and gentlemen, this ends my comments upon the topic of the so-called non-preexistence of Christ, the topic of the so-called nothing came into existence through him. And as I said at the beginning of this, it's ridiculous that we're even arguing about it. It's just shocking and sad. There are many things we can argue about, but this ought not be one of them. Like I said at the beginning, this is one of the simplest passages, the most sublime, beautiful, all-encompassing, transparent passages there is. And we have to argue about this too? So, I'm not going to spend any more time on it for a while, I hope. If I have to, I have to, and I will. Like somebody said in the comments yesterday, and I love that, Martin, don't get tired of doing this. This needs to be done. This is important. Don't get tired. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yes, that's what I do. I defend foundational truth against what I call tabloid scripturalism. I think that's what this is. This is tabloid scripturalism. It's sensationalism. It's looking for a new truth. Call me boring. That's okay. Call me unprogressive. I don't care. I prefer to think of myself as rooted and grounded in the faith. And as I said, I have to say this beforehand. It's not that I don't find or I don't look for a new sparkle or new nuance in the old truths, but I refuse to entertain sensational new teachings that look cockeyed and upside down and sideways at straightforward passages. Just to make the Athenians happy. They want to hear something new. The only time I go to Mars Hill is to correct the superstitions, not to learn something new from the latest sensationalist to line up at the podium.